What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fourth and final hour here live on a Monday. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you. Good to have you in for the next 60 minutes. We've got the big finish coming up at 9:45 this morning. We will go around the NFL at 9:30, but right now we welcome in John Fox, current ESPN NFL analyst, and had a tremendous career as a head coach with the Panthers, the Broncos, the Chicago Bears, and he joins us right now on Morning Drive. John, we appreciate a few. How are you?
Well, doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Good to have you in. So let me get your perspective from afar as a former head coach. What do you make of the Tennessee Titans right now? Because we watched them a few weeks ago, and they went into Cleveland, and they stomped the Browns, won by 30 points. But since then, it's been a big trouble, big issues with both the Colts and the Jaguars, not only from an execution standpoint, but at least from the naked eye, from a motivation standpoint. What do you make of this team through 3 weeks?
Well, you know, I think I was very, very impressed for them to trot into Cleveland with all the hype Cleveland had had. And, you know, I thought Coach Vrabel did a great job having his team prepared. And, you know, really, they looked pretty dominant in that opener, both defensively and offensively. Since that time, I think it's been, a little bit of inconsistency. I know in this league, the quarterback gets most of the criticism. But they've just not been able to be as consistent as I know Coach Vrabel would like, in particularly on offense. And so I think that's kind of, why they're off to a 1-2 start, to be quite frank with you.
Hey, Coach, I know the rules have changed over the course of the last 15 years to make it easier on passing games, receivers, and quarterbacks to protect them, and we all know why. There's lots of reasons. My question, though, is has quarterbacking in the NFL gotten easier? And therefore, all the talent we're seeing, the young collection of quarterbacks, is much better than we've seen in the past? Or is it just a symptom of, hey, to play the position now, you don't need to be as good, and therefore Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, a lot of these guys are getting these huge contracts because it's easier to play the position? I guess the question is it talent or is it the rules that are making it easier to play the quarterback position?
Well, I think the type of talent I think that's coming in, is really – kind of evolved from what college football is doing. Let's be honest. College football is the farm team for the National Football League. So a lot of that dictates it as far as the talent and the types of offenses that you're seeing kind of trickle into the NFL is because of not just the rules, all right, but because of college football or the farm teams. I agree that I was talking to Steve Young about this a while back, and Steve and I go way back to the LA Express. It's definitely, healthier to play quarterback than it was, say, 20 years ago, as far as the protection of them and those types of things, and as well as really in the passing game. The same could be true for receivers as far as attacking the middle of the field, with a lot of the protection for receivers or defenseless receivers. I think the middle of the field is way more vulnerable than it was, 15, 20 years ago.
Now, Coach, how much is it? Because we talk a lot about Marcus Mariota here and his progression. He showed a lot of progression his second year, and then ever since then, things have been trending down. But he has had this reoccurring revolving door with offensive coordinators. How much stock as a former head coach do you put into, you know, revolving the offensive coordinator position and kind of translating into whether that quarterback, whether it be a young quarterback or older quarterback, being successful?
You know, I think it's a big factor. And, you know, this game, and I'm saying regardless of what position, is about playing the game fast. It's what to do, how to do it, and be able to execute it under pressure. You know, three simple steps. And I think the more you do something, the better you get. So whether it's the terminology, whether it's the little nuances of getting into the right plays or getting out of bad plays, when you can have that synergy with the play caller as the quarterback, you know, you just look around, you know, what Tom Brady's been accomplished, you know, our coach Peyton Manning, what he's been able to accomplish. You know, a lot of that is continuity. And, you know, I think that's really key, being on the same page. You hear that a lot. That's really important in that offensive coordinator and quarterback's relationship.
John Fox, ESPN, joining us here on Morning Drive. Of course, John Fox, former NFL head coach. And John, you know, you are a defensive guy by trade. And for years and years and years, you always had really good defenses. I mean, dating back 20 years ago when you were with the Giants and Jim Fassel making that first Super Bowl run. So tell us, I mean, how frustrating is it, and I'm trying to get into the mind of Dean Pease, Titans defensive coordinator, when you have a really good defensive unit and you're really holding opposing offenses in check, whether that's the Jaguars, the Colts, Baker Mayfield week one, yet you just don't feel like the other side of the equation, the offense, is holding up their end of the bargain. Is that difficult to manage as a DC, or do you just kind of keep your head down and only worry about what you can control?
Well, you know, it's so much about building your culture and your organization. You know, as a team first, it's we, not me. You know, being more selfless, not selfish. You know, that holds to a side of the ball as well, whether it's offense or defense. You know, how you react to sudden change. Again, when you're, you know, part of life is doing things for somebody bigger than yourself. And, you know, when you have that selfless culture or mindset, you know, I think that's what helps you weather that. And look, this game's about matchups. There's going to be some games where, you know, look, your offense is going to have to bail you out as a defensive squad. You know, whether it's a real high-powered offense you're playing, the defense, you know, it's important that the offense keeps you off the field. So, you know, I think you're going to run into, you know, we're so far early in the season right now, it's, you know, we're not even done with the first quarter. And just like in a game, the game's not won and lost, or the season's not won and lost in that first quarter. So, you know, a lot can change between now and week 17.
If you were Antonio Brown's head coach right now, what would you say to him?
Well, I learned a long time ago, Chuck Noll taught me, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, it's not, you don't want to point fingers in the National Football League. And Chuck said it was okay to point fingers. You just have to know when and where to point them. And when things are going really good, you want to point them to the people on the outside of you or other than you. When things are going bad, that finger should just come to one place, and that's right dead in the middle of your heart. And so that would be my recommendation to Antonio Brown right now is, you know, he looks where he is right now, and I think I'd be pointing that finger at myself.
Now, Coach, do you think the NFL would ever get to a point, because we understand, you know, a lot of times if your talent outweighs your problem, then you're going to be in the NFL for a long time, or until a team just – until you start to diminish as a talent. But do you think the NFL would ever get to a point where, because they have a bunch of little kids watching their sport, a bunch of women, people that just love it and look at these players a certain way, do you think the NFL ever gets to a point where they say, you know what, I don't care how talented you are, and this is just not for Antonio Brown, but I don't care how talented you are, if you're not doing the things that we're asking you to do, and we're paying you a lot of money to do, then we can't have you in our sport.
You know, I think to the best of their ability, they're really trying to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors that go in. And look, there's not too many perfect people walking the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fairly well understood. So people are going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. So it's really a fine line. I agree with you in what we're trying to, in the influence and the podium that we have being a part of the NFL. It's a privilege, not a right. And I think for the most part, they do as good a job as they can. Mm-hmm. I just have a 5% rule, and I can't tell you what 5% stands for, but regardless of what group of people, 5% of them are that word, and you can cut them out, and the new 5% pops up. It's just the way of the world, in my opinion. So you're going to always deal with some of that, regardless of what line of work you're in.
John Fox, ESPN NFL analyst. You can catch him on NFL Live and a handful of other NFL programming on ESPN. We appreciate the time. Thank you, John.
It's always a pleasure. You guys have a great day.
Take care.
You too.
John Fox, former head coach in the NFL, joining us, obviously, with Peyton Manning in Denver.
Yeah, and I've wondered that. And I get it. He's absolutely right. If you take out that 5%, and we all know what it is, then something else is going to pop up. No one's perfect. And I'm all about second chances. But when I give you a second chance, I'm not obligated to give you a third chance. And I think this is what some of these guys are getting, third chances, fourth chances, because of their talent. And the NFL not knowing that there are a bunch of kids that are watching you give these guys third, fourth, fifth chances. And you know what they're growing up saying? Well, if I'm good enough, then I can do what I want to. And I know a lot of that then fall on a parent and saying, listen, no, it's not. It doesn't work that way. You want to be the best person that you can possibly be. But when you have a sport, and again, I am good with second chances. Everybody deserves just about a second chance. But then I am not obligated to give you anything past that. And you see guys consistently doing things over and over and over again. And just because they can catch a football, throw a football, run fast, sack the quarterback, no one bats an eye.
615-737-1025, the number, if you would like to jump in. Coming up next, the stare seen around the world. Back after this on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 1025, the game. Coming up in just about 5 minutes. A total Sparty meltdown. Derek Mason will enjoy this one.
It won't be Derek Mason melting down.
That is correct.
No.
It's very good audio. You're going to want to stick around for this. But first, the stare that was seen around the world yesterday. Before the Patriots game, Bill Belichick, New England, they're coming into the stadium yesterday against the Jets. CBS reporter Dana Jacobson goes up to him, does a little pregame interview in the tunnel. And she wraps it up by saying, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what led to the dismissal of Antonio Brown. Belichick, in typical Belichick fashion, says, we're focused on the Jets today. And he doesn't give her anything, which is he doesn't give anybody anything. But then there's the icy stare of death after she says thank you. And he just stares a hole through her for probably 2.5-3 seconds. And the whole world on social media loses their collective mind because... let's face it, she's a female. So is this people just overreacting again? Or was Belichick flexing on a female reporter and doing something that he wouldn't do to a man? Because that's what it comes down to.
I think Belichick did exactly what Belichick would do to anyone. It could have been an alien standing in front of him. He would have gave him the death stare and walked away.
He'd be like, we're on to Pluto.
Exactly.
We're on to Mars.
It's like, you've asked. And listen, she had every right to ask that question.
Yep.
No question.
Absolutely.
And knowing she's not going to get an answer.
Everybody knew it was coming. And he had every right to answer it the way he answered it. Okay. Here's the thing. And I don't know if people really understand what they're saying. When they say things, do they really mean what they say? Because we're all about women empowerment. Everybody, just empowering people, period, to do things that, things positive that they probably wouldn't have tried to do or they couldn't do years ago. we're all about that, especially, you know, in this scenario, women. And they, and it's always, you know, we want to be treated like the men are treated in those environments. You know, we want to be able to do those interviews that men have been doing for the longest. We want to be in the rooms. Okay, you want to do the interviews. You want to do everything else. So don't get upset when Bill Belichick answers you the same way he would answer a man. Don't all of a sudden get on this high horse and say, well, why did he do that to her? Have you seen Bill Belichick's interviews? Have you seen what he hasn't said to people and the stares he's given to men?
Oh, he stares through guys like those pieces of trash, too.
He just walked out of a press conference. So do you think he not? Do you think then if a woman asked him on that, or a man, on game day, he's getting ready to walk into the locker room, game day, do you think he would not? Just because it's a woman, he would not react the same way. He's going to be Bill Belichick. I don't care if it was a man or a woman. So if, indeed, you want to be, you know, treated on par like the men in that environment, and you should, if they're getting paid a certain amount, you should get paid that same amount that they're getting paid for doing the same job. But then also...
But she, and by the way, she's not complaining about it.
She's not complaining whatsoever.
But all of her colleagues are, and my counter to that.
Who was, though? Like, I didn't see anything on Twitter yesterday complaining about this at all.
I can pull up a bunch of them. I'll get them for you.
I've watched the video, and, like, I don't even see a stare really all that much.
Everyone's like, a stare.
Everyone's like, well, Belichick, you're a clown, you know, looking at her that way and trying to flex on her. And to me, it's like, no, he's a clown to everybody.
Yes.
He's an angry D-bag to everybody, male or female.
I would just say, what are people reacting to here? A football coach stared at somebody? Like, that's what we're reacting to? Like,
You've seen the video, though, right?
Yeah, I don't see that much of a...
Oh, you have? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not defending Belichick, but he stares a whole thing.
You could tell was just
like did you really ask me that bleeping question?
The video I've seen is...
It's only like 5 seconds long.
Yeah, then I need to watch another video then, I guess, because the one I've watched is just... Belichick looking like Belichick, like he just looks like himself.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. I also went through my entire day yesterday consuming Twitter like most of us on this show do, and I didn't really see it as a story. It never got into my timeline, so I must have missed it. My question is this just an outrage of the afternoon and then we move on because it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal? Because that's what it sort of feels like.
Oh, I don't
like
think it's a big deal at all.
Yeah, that's what it sort of feels like. Because I didn't really get people I didn't see a lot of outrage on Twitter. Again, maybe people threw out their one tweet and then they felt
it was
and they moved on.
It was the number one trend on Twitter worldwide before kickoff.
Worldwide?
Because this was at like 11 o'clock our time.
Now, I will say, in a totally different subject here, I do think that if you want to ask Bill Belichick about a game plan and he wants to say nothing to you and be a giant jerk to you, that's fine. I have a problem with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick giving one-word answers to why you're bringing a guy on board that has been accused of multiple sexual assaults. I think that you owe, like, society, your fans, whatever, at least a prepared statement of some sort. Tom Brady basically made light of it. He said no, and then somebody asked him again, and he joked about it. And I'm like, dude, meanwhile, Matthew Slater, one of the veteran leaders on the Patriots, is giving a well-thought-out, critical answer that doesn't diminish the situation that is going through. And it's like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick can't be bothered to even acknowledge that what they're doing may be questionable morally. Like, maybe not Brady, but Belichick, I love Bill Belichick and Nick Saban and the way they act and the way they talk in press conferences. I think it's great.
So do I.
I think it's fine. But I do think this was a different situation. Not necessarily with Dana Jacobson yesterday, because they cut him. But when they brought him in and they had that initial press conference and he's like, no, I don't think it's going to be a distraction. And he's like, they didn't say a single word after that. Tom Brady gave one word answer, no, and then laughed about it. I think that is diminishing sexual assault charges and potential rape allegations. I think that's diminishing that to some degree. I'm not up in arms about it. I just think, you know, if I'm asking you how you're going to stop Le'Veon Bell and you don't want to give me an answer, fine. I don't care. That's your prerogative. Be Bill Belichick. But if I'm asking you, like, hey, the New England Patriots fans want to know why you're bringing in an alleged rapist onto the team, I think you should treat that situation with a little bit more severity than just a one-word answer and a scoff. Meanwhile, Matthew Slater is giving a really incredibly smart, poignant answer without actually saying anything, right? Like, you can address issues and not say anything. Some people do it. John Robinson does it very well.
There definitely is an element of Belichick and Brady where they feel like the media is beneath them.
Well, the fans are beneath them.
I don't think it's that. I think it's they are so in tuned into what they're doing. It has nothing to do with the fans being beneath them or the media being beneath them. I think they just try their best to stick to message. They try their best to just keep things pointing forward.
They want no distractions.
Yeah, they want no. And you got to understand.
And I know why they do it.
This is a well-oiled machine. And they keep moving no matter what. This is not the first. It wasn't. And it's not going to be the last sort of distraction for everyone else. But for the New England Patriots, it's we're moving on to the next team. We will answer that some other time. Matter of fact, we're not answering at all. You know, we're going to put out a statement. Our statement will answer, hopefully it answers any question that you have. Do they have a right? Do the head coach have a right or have an obligation to go in depth? Probably so. But then again, if he doesn't, if you continue to browbeat him, he's not going to give you anything.
Right. I just think there's a difference between saying no, one word answer, and at least giving a very serious allegation, at least the sort of time it's due by saying, hey, this is a very serious allegation. I'm not trying to diminish it. Now, again, what's really ironic about all of this is that all those questions were fair to ask because then they cut Antonio Brown. So, like, let's be honest. It was a big concern for you. It was a huge distraction for you. It wasn't worth it for you because you cut him after offering him $35 million.
No, they cut him for the text message he sent, the mass text
message. I think Bill Belichick cut him because he didn't want to be asked about him anymore.
Nah, Bill wanted to win.
But
wants to win.
They also cut him 2 days before he was due a huge bonus. So there's a lot of reasons they cut him. They're all tied together, which is this is not worth it to us, right? Whether it's a legal thing, whether it's a money thing, or whether it's a distraction thing, that the irony of all of this is all those questions you just refused to answer, we were all right about all of it because you cut him, because you didn't want him on your team for whatever reason.
Speaking of the media and coaches giving the media a little bit of guff, let's go to East Lansing, Michigan, where Derek Mason's boy, Mark D'Antonio, was not having a little presser amongst Sparty Nation.
I don't have a whole lot of time in front of the cameras today. That's the way it is. So why skip around? Just tell it the way it is.
You come away with any more clarity on the receiving core? And who made
Did you?
No.
Okay, next question.
How surprising was that lack of emotions considering what happened last week?
It was surprising. Next question.
Coach, does your offense need to play better to be effective against Ohio State next week?
Yes. Next question.
Are these drops affecting Andrew's performance?
I would say it is because the ball didn't advance. Next question.
Mark, I'm curious about Will Golston and didn't play till the second half. Is there any...
Yeah, he was not able to practice the entire... You know, he was in and out of practice this week, so we made that decision.
Is it an injury situation? Or
I don't talk about injuries. Next question.
You said players make plays. Can you talk about Sims and Le'Veon and how big they were today?
They were big. Next question.
Is it a tough decision?
I'm just loving all these questions because they're great ones. Go ahead.
Tough decision to put Bell at punt returner considering how much
you're... Not when you dropped the punt the time before. Next question. Thanks, guys. Go read.
There you have it. Go Sparty.
What's so funny is it sounds like he's talking about Le'Veon Bell and like it sounds like he's talking about like a 2012 team.
But listen, he answered all the questions.
He did.
He didn't. He probably didn't. He didn't go in depth with the questions, but he answered all of them.
And he was honest. Like, does your offense need to be better to beat Ohio State? Yes.
He's got a Belichick element to him. He always looks disgusting.
He's from the Belichick. Yeah. He's from the Saban tree.
He looks miserable every day I see him on camera.
Yeah, but he's not miserable.
I mean, he makes Nick Saban look like a softy.
No, he's got a kind of funny sense of humor when he's off.
Yeah,
does he?
Saban does too. Like
Good thing about it is that they can't say he didn't answer the question.
No, he answered every one.
He answered every question. He did, and then he expedited everything, made it quickly.
He's the perfect guy for that job.
Like, I would not call that a meltdown. I would call that precision execution.
Exactly. Time management to its finest.
Yes. Why didn't you play him in the second half? Because we made that decision.
Exactly. He was in and out of practice. There you go.
You think we're getting to a point now with these press conferences where these coaches know they're becoming characters of themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they
do. Like Mike Leach, Mike Gundy, we'd love it, but do they play it up a little bit now?
I don't think Leach plays anything up. I think that's Leach is just naturally being that weird. Sun Devils, they got to worry about what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? How long can that beaver hold its breath? You know, did the Ute trade its bow and arrow in for a rifle? Because that's a dangerous Ute. You know, the tree's going to get cut down. That's just him.
Yeah.
Belichick and Saban know what they're doing. I think Saban, and what makes him great at press conferences, yes, is he unfair to the media? Fine, he is. But, and he doesn't have to be that abrasive all the time, but he also uses the pulpit to his advantage in a very manipulative and, like, really impressive way. I don't always agree with what he's saying, because, again, he's like, I'm so worried about the bowl games. I'm like, are you really, coach? Like, he'll go off on how the bowl games don't mean as much anymore. And I'm like, who cares, coach? Like, you don't really actually spend any of your time worried about the Tax Slayer Bowl, do you? Like, really?
Because you're not going to
Come on, dude. Like, give me a freaking break. So, like, I don't always agree with him going off, but he uses the setting and manipulates the setting to gain whatever it is he's trying to gain in that moment. Belichick just makes a mockery of it all. And he knows it. Like, he knows. He's hitting his obligations.
Big Finish coming up at 9:45. The Titans were off yesterday, but the NFL was not. We go around the league next.
Spring Hill Heating and Cooling knows it's got obligations to Middle Tennessee. It's got to take care of your homes. And listen, it's still stinking hot. Maybe one day we'll get a temperature break. But until then, make sure you have springhillac.com bookmarked on your webpage there. springhillac.com is the website. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling has been taking care of homes in Middle Tennessee for over two decades, so successfully, you've given them and rewarded them with your business for so long that they now have doubled in size, opened up a second office out there on Highway 100 south of Dixon to take care of all the great folks West Tennessee, west of Nashville, you know, Middle Tennessee, even East Nashville where I live. They come up and take care of my house and my family's homes as well. That's why we're not using the other guys anymore, only using Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Proud sponsors of Smashville Live. Check out the website, springhillac.com. They'll come to your house, join the Comfort Club, which means they're going to preempt any issues that you may have by checking up on you in the fall and in the spring before those peak times of usage in the summer and in the fall. If you do have a big repair, they're going to come to your house, do a complete diagnostic check, and lay out all the information for you so you can make an intelligent decision for your family. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, let them be your emergency plan. It's still super hot. Your AC's working really hard. You never know what could go wrong. Give them a call. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com. Tell them Braden sent you. We're not using the other guys anymore.
All right, Smashville. Join the game, Nashville, at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday, September the 29th. That is this upcoming Sunday, 2 to 6 p.m. There'll be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. So stop on out to the tent and win some awesome prizes from ESPN 1025, The Game. You heard the Fox NFL theme music. Hollywood, let's go around the National Football League.
On fourth and five, Jones steps up, takes off, he's in, touchdown!
You know, they're playing some kind of man and just kind of opened up there and saw the grass and took it. So, you know, fun finish to it, exciting, last drive, and thought we did a good job, you know, getting people open and good job protecting. It was a fun finish.
Daniel Jones makes his first start in the NFL, 32-31 defeat Tampa Bay. Now, Daniel Jones is the quarterback for the Giants for the future. I'm going to ask you guys, are you guys believing in the Daniel Jones hype after one game? I know it's Tampa Bay, but...
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Tampa Bay should never be favored by 6 points over anybody. That's the first thing. Secondly, I do believe in Daniel Jones. I mentioned how good he looked in preseason, and I know it's preseason, and I know it's only one game. And I'm going to give you a take right now that I gave out on Twitter yesterday at No Charge.
Yeah, I saw this one.
And if you guys disagree, that is great.
I disagree with you.
Daniel Jones will have a better career than both Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson.
Ah, oh, man.
Take that one to the bank, boys.
Maybe.
He might. I think the kid's going to do good. I think he has Pat Shurmur is a good play caller. They just got to get more talent around him, and they got to get an offensive line.
And the offense, you could tell, was a different offense with him in the lineup other than Eli Manning, because he can do all the things Eli Manning does. He looks kind of like Eli Manning, frankly, back there, except for then he runs.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait a second, that's definitely not Eli Manning. By the way, he had two rushing touchdowns yesterday in his debut. Eli Manning never had more than one in any season of his career, so he's already topped Eli Manning's rushing touchdown total. Listen, if I'm Dave Gettleman, the GM, I got a tall glass of scotch and a big old cigar, and I'm just got my heels up on the desk right now going, what? At me now, Giants fans.
Yeah, totally agree.
So sticking with that game, Bruce Arians was asked because he basically took a five-yard penalty to back his kicker up.
What was that?
Yeah, and then he explained it later on why he did it, and here's what he had to say.
And there, when you got the five-yard penalty, delayed, what happened there?
I just took it on purpose.
You took it on purpose?
Yeah, I want the field. He's better back. That field goal's easier back 5 yards. No sense hurrying.
So Matt Gay missed the 34-yarder after taking the 5-yard penalty, and then they lose the game. So that's his explanation.
The worst part about the explanation is it's a rookie kicker who already missed an extra point and had one blocked in the same game.
But hadn't he made 4 field goals?
Yeah, he had made 4 field goals prior to that. Yeah.
But in what world are we backing up kickers 5 yards?
I don't mind the bat 5 yards. It's not like it went from a 40 to 45-yard field goal, 50 to 55. It went from a 29 to a 34. Yeah. He was able to put it in the middle. It's a chip shot.
Yeah, you got
to
make it either way.
You can't blame Bruce Arians for that. Missed it.
Rookie kicker missed an extra point, had one blocked. Who knows what his anxiety levels are, and you back him up?
But he had just made 4 field goals.
But what's a 34-yard field goal percentage-wise to an NFL kicker versus 29? Like, nothing. There's no difference.
So I don't.
Well, you know me. I love kickers.
Listen, I don't like the decision because it seems odd on its surface. But there is a hey, is it a bad angle? It's a better angle from 34 versus 29. Maybe that's the case. It still doesn't make much sense.
It's the kicker for it. He just needed to make a 34-yard field goal.
You got to make a 34-yard
field goal. Win the game, okay?
Just like Cairo Santos needs to make a 45-yarder even after Mariota takes a sack.
Dude, how about the other head scratcher? And I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, but last night, Freddie Kitchens, 3rd and 9, ran a fourth and nine draw
to Nick Chubb, and he explained it after the game. And here's what Freddie Kitchens had to say:
what happened on the 4th and 9 play call?
Bad call.
Is that the play? Did you want that play call?
Yes, I wanted that play call.
Do you think you'd catch him in a? What was your thinking on that?
It just didn't work. It was a bad call.
Why go for it there, Freddie?
Roll Tide.
We're trying to win the game. We're on that side of the field. It was a bad call.
Roll Tide.
Bad call. Basically an HB draw to Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb did have some wiggle room if he didn't get tackled on that second one.
Had he got past the first tackler, there was a lot of space there, yeah.
So, yeah, Freddie Kitchens making bad coaching decisions already.
I like a coach saying, look, man, I made the bad call. It was my call, and I made the bad call. Roll Tide.
I just don't get some of these coaches. Mace, you lived it. Mm-hmm. Where do they come up with these plays where it's like I'm the smartest guy in the room, and if I pull it off, I look like a genius. But if I don't, which I probably won't, I look like a total fool.
I guarantee you everybody in that huddle, even Chubb, when he said draw play on 4th and 9, they all said, what?
Like 4th and 5?
We have Landry, we have Beckham Jr., and we have other pass catcher, and you want to run a draw?
And supposedly a franchise quarterback.
And a franchise quarterback. You want to run a draw?
Yeah, that was interesting. Okay. That was a good game, though.
Yeah.
Listen, Texans, Chargers, good game.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good games yesterday. Not on Thursday night.
Yeah.
2nd and 10. Setting up a screen. Kamara. Blockers in front. Inside the 20. Breaks a tackle. And he steps in for the touchdown.
Now, Teddy Bridgewater had a big game against the Seattle Seahawks last night.
Good for him.
And good for him. On the road, tough, obviously a tough situation for him, having to fill in for Drew Brees. A lot of you guys, a lot of us were pretty high on the Saints going into the season. And now Teddy Bridgewater's at quarterback. Drew Brees may come back in week 10. So do you think Teddy Bridgewater can hold this Saints team up until Drew Brees comes back?
That was an incredible showing by them because that was a blowout win. The score didn't indicate it because Seattle came charging back and scored a bunch of garbage points. But that was an incredibly impressive showing. And good for Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's a guy everybody should be rooting for. So let's see if he can keep them above water until Drew Brees comes back.
This was a successful quarterback before he got injured. And nothing tells me that he's not going to be successful, especially in that offense with Sean Payton as the coordinator.
Really shows you, too, that this is a complete team. This is not just Drew Brees slinging it around. They got a good running back. They've got a good defense. They've got a good head coach. Teddy B could definitely navigate the next couple of weeks.
Almost all of those things you guys just said, you could almost say all of them about the Colts as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the things you just said. Great offensive line, good scheme, decent head coach, good players, good decent defense. You know, the Colts just beat the Falcons, boys. Yeah.
I wonder how Vegas feel now, because when Andrew Luck retired, they said they would finish last. And
yeah, I bet you that's true.
I think I said this still is a 9-win team, possibly even 10, because when Brissett took over the first time, the talent was nowhere near what it is now. Yep. Now he takes over for the second time, and it might be indefinitely. Listen, this talent is much better. Both sides of the ball. The coaching is much better. And this team might end up winning this division because I can't see the Tennessee Titans, unless they have injuries, I can't see the Tennessee Titans beating them in Indy.
Well, now, the Texans were one bad defensive possession away from being undefeated and a win over the Saints on the road in week one. So I still think the Texans are in better shape as they went on the road against the Chargers last week. The Texans have not looked bad in any game yet. Now, their offensive line is a major question because Deshaun Watson's getting hit almost as much as Marcus Mariota is.
The Big Finish is coming up next. Stay there.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. Time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. Really quickly, before we do get to the Big Finish and the Rewind, it's your opportunity to win a 4-pack of tickets to see MTSU take on Marshall at Floyd Stadium on Saturday, October the 5th. Just be caller 5 right now, 615-737-1025. And Braden Gall, the Big Finish is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com. That's NashvilleSC.com.
And we welcome you into a Monday edition.
Yet another Power 5 opponent for Tennessee and yet another blowout. That is now 16 games Jeremy Pruitt has coached Tennessee, and 7 of them have been losses by 25 points or more. Yet again, early in that game, having trouble, I'm watching defensive players look at each other and like yelling at each other like about 4 minutes. And I'm like, you're 4 games into the second season of your career, and you can't get your defense lined up stinking correctly? What are you guys doing? And then give credit to Florida. Florida's, they're circling the wagons a little bit without their leader on offense, and they played good enough football to win. And defensively, that team's really salty, and there's another blowout for Tennessee.
Tell me if I'm overreacting here. Literally, just like tell me, say, Nick, shut up, throw something at me, punch me in the forehead, whatever you got to do.
We can do that even if you're not overreacting.
Okay,
right?
That's fine. Okay. I could use it. But I'm thinking like
Derek's closer.
Just watching that game, and he's got a longer reach. Although, actually, I don't know. You guys have pretty long reaches. Either way, you guys can
long arms.
Knock me out of my seat. But, well, Mason's jacked.
Yeah, he's slightly.
he looks like he's still in the
league. He's in slightly better shape than myself.
You got Mariota, Garantano. I swear to God, it's like Groundhog's Day. It doesn't matter if you watch Tennessee football on Saturday with the college team or on Sunday or Thursday with the pro team. The quarterback, with the way they pronounce their name, the errant throws, and the fact that they continue to take hit after hit. Is there really any difference between the two right now? Like, do I need to write off Garantano too?
You know what? That touchdown early, I think, killed them. The drop touchdown by Jenny. I think that really
turned into the interception.
I think that really killed him. Because at that point they had a fumble, and then it was called a no fumble. Then they played good defense, and then they get another fumble, then it was called he was out of bounds, and then they finally somehow, some way get another turnover. And then they're moving the ball. I mean, they are moving the ball. And Garantano is looking good. The running back is running. Jennings is catching. And then he gets in the end zone and he drops a wide open touchdown. It was a BB. It was coming full speed, but that's something a senior receiver needs to catch. That's a leader on that team. He has to make that catch, and he did. And I think once that happened, everything just started to go downhill for the Vols.
You know what it's like to make a video game analogy? Mm-hmm. The rest of college football is playing Madden 2019. The Tennessee Volunteers are playing Tecmo Bowl. I swear to God.
It's not that far off.
You know, you're absolutely right.
Like, they're all on Xbox One with a high-speed internet connection. And Tennessee's using the old Sega Genesis 16-bit. Yeah. Not even on the internet yet. See, just playing the computer. We welcome in our man Corey Curtis.
I think we're overreacting some, but I mean, they are underachieving. But
this is who they are. This is who they were last year. You know, one week they're good, and the next week they're not so good. They don't have the explosive difference makers on either side of the ball that seem to be able to correct when they're not spot on. I mean, we always talk about the New England Patriots. They don't beat themselves. And when the Titans do things to beat themselves, they're not good enough to really kind of to get past it. So, you know, until they do things to correct that, you know, that's just going to be the way it is.
So yesterday, I wake up, and I texted you as soon as I saw this.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you wake up, you check Twitter, and you see Antonio Brown just literally destroying other people on Twitter.
You're that guy that breaks in the car, or let's just say breaks a window, and the cops come and all y'all hide, and everybody has great hiding spaces or places except you, and you get caught. Then you say, hey everybody, we got caught, come on out. No, you got caught, we didn't.
What if I didn't break the window though?
But we're all a part of it.
I can't be
but
a snitch.
He's that guy that wants to, once it's on him, he wants to point out everybody else. He wants to try to deflect it. Hey, Johnny's over there in the trash can. Look at him. He's over there. Hey, Bob, come out from behind the bushes. He caught me, so he caught you too. No, it ain't about them. It's about you. You got caught.
So Derek, you just heard the overtime winner there, right?
Uh-huh.
And let me double check. What days, again, are we allowed to overreact, Coach Pruitt?
On Mondays and Thursdays, and then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Because I think Pitlick's earned a shot right on this roster from opening night. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get it. He'll be in Milwaukee. But selfishly, I want to live in a world where I get to hear this name on a nightly basis.
Brim Pitlick!
In my neck of the woods, Lower Antioch, there was a woman dancing, twerking on top of Mustang as it was moving. I feel like I shouldn't have to explain this, but people, if a car is moving, you might not want to be on top of the car as it's moving.
What is wrong with you young people?
Shit. This looks like
getting on the internet is not the end all be all, okay? Please don't jeopardize your life just to get a bunch of clicks.
Well, what's crazy about it is I think you're doing this, obviously, if you're a girl and you're twerking on top of a car, you're doing this because you think it's sexy. I have not once stopped in the middle of the road and be like, is that girl dancing on top of a Mustang? I just found my future wife.
I need to get her.
Yeah. Excuse me, Tabitha. Twerking Tabitha.
I don't know that I'd want to live a second life. Even if my life was completely different and I was a different person.
That's a good question.
Would you want to come back and do life all over again?
Some people believe you do. Here's a good one for you. This might get me in trouble, but here's a good one.
Would you rather?
Would you rather die and come back as a black man?
Nobody gets that joke, but it's so funny.
Don't press sand.
That is the big finish. The Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
Don't press sand.
That's the Tennessee version of Herm Edwards there.
Herm Edwards. What did I tell you, though?
I did put a little
my silly underdog pick. I said Colorado would win. And
did you hit it?
Yeah, I hit it.
How'd Northwestern do?
Yeah, that's been stricken from the record.
Derek,
31-3.
How'd the Vols do in Florida?
They weren't good.
Did they win outright?
Yeah, I took a beating on that one, boy.
It's all right. We all win some, we lose some.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. Stay tuned. Darren, Donick, and Chase are coming up next. And by the way, Chase McCabe's going to be out, I believe, after Wednesday's show. And he just wants the world to know he's going to be on vacation for a couple of days. He's came in here to talk about it. He's tweeting about it. He's really rubbing it in all of our faces.
Should we give his address out so people can go steal stuff
from
him?
I'll give out his social security number right now.
Phone number and everything. 555-1212. That's Chase's number.
Double dip coming up next. Stay there.
Bailey DJ Nashville. I love you.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.